Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga Daf Chaf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah, HaKli Mitzar Mash B'Toich L'Kodesh Avloi L'Truma, that if you have various different food items in one keli, in one vessel, everything is considered connected as far as Hilchus, as far as Kodesh is concerned, but not for Truma. Ask the Gemara, Menonimili, where do we know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chanan, Damakra. The pasuk says, Kaf achas asarazov malayik tyrus, teaches us this pasuk, Hakos of osu hako mashabakaf, the Torah treats everything in the spoon, kachas, as one. And the Rishonim explain, the Torah already used the word kaf, and the word kaf is the singular. So obviously, it's talking about one spoon. Why did the Torah have to add the word achas? To teach us that even everything in one keli is considered connected. The Gemara in Masechet Menachos, Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, teaches us that there are actually two different situations that we need to analyze. One is a situation when we have food, one mass of food together. That is not what our Gemara is speaking about. That's not the category of what is referred to in our Gemara of HaKli Mitzar Masha B'Toichai, that everything in one keli is one. Because that, as the Gemara over there explains, is considered Mechubur. When everything is one piece, that's Mechubur, and there's no need to teach us that it's considered as one unit. Our Gemara is speaking about a situation that there are separate units, but they're all in one keli, and the halacha is that it's considered one. Maser of Kahana. So according to what Rav Chanan has just taught us, this halacha of a kli mitzarif mash b'toichai, the kli has the ability to make everything in one keli connected, seems to be a din d'oraisa. But ask the Gemara, there's a Mishnah Masechta Idyos, Paraches Mishnah Aleph, that teaches us, Hosef Rabbi Kiva, Rav Shimon ben Seira, in that Mishnah, speaks about, Efer Chatos, Shenaga Tamei ben Mektsasai, that if a Tamei individual touched part of the Efer Chatos, Timei as Kulai. And comes Rabbi Kiva to teach us that not only if somebody who's Tamei actually touch part of the Mefer Chatos, does it affect Tumah to the entire thing? But furthermore, Hasoilus, the flour that's used in the preparation of a Korban Mincha, Dektiris, Vilvona, Dektiris and Dilvona, that are all used in preparing the Korban Mincha, V'Gecholim, these are referring to the Gecholim that the Kohen Gadol would take on Yom Kippur from the base, from the Mizbeach, from the Mizbeach, to take them to prepare the Ketiris. The halacha is, if somebody is Tfilyoim, and as we discussed extensively in our previous year, somebody who's a Tfilyoim is not yet completely tar. The halacha is, if he touched part of it, he makes that all possible because of the concept that we're learning now, Kli Mitzarfim. And even though Ketiris, Levana, and Gecholim explain Rashi and Tosfos are not food items, they're still susceptible to Tuma because Chibas HaKodesh Mechshartam. The fact that they use for Kodesh gives them a certain status that they can be Mekabel Tuma. Says the Gemara, Vahab, this concept that Rabbi Kiva said, Midrabbanan. What makes you say that, asked the Gemara. What tells you to say that what Rabbi Kiva taught us in that Mishnah is only a din derabbanan that causes us to ask a question that we began today's shiur with Rav Chanan, who's saying that Seer of Kli is a deraisa? Says the Mamid Tani Reisha. Says, let's learn the beginning of that Mishnah. The beginning of that Mishnah begins, Hey, Rav Shimon Beseira, Aleif Echatish Noga, Tamei Mektsasai, that if it was touched by Tamei Timas Kulai. That then is certainly only Midrabbanan, because the pasuk that Rav Chanan used to start our shiur with to say the concept of tziri kli is only by something that's put on the mizbeach. The efer chatos is not put on the mizbeach. So obviously, when Rav Shimon ben Seira said his din in Masechta Idyos, he was teaching us a din midrabbanan. V'ktani, and we're learning in our shiur today, and the Mishnah continued saying, Hosef Rabbi Kiva, isn't that clearly indication that we're dealing only with a drabbanan? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon, Amar Rav Shlokish Mishum B'kapara, Lo Nitzrucha El Shiari Mincha. The Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva, is saying that a kli, that there's a concept of tzir of kli, is only regarding the leftovers of the Kohen Mincha that were eaten by the Kohanim. And at that point, they don't really need to be in a kli sharis. They only need to be in a kli sharis when they're going to be used to be put on the Mizbeach. But here, obviously, the part that's being put on the Mizbeach, the Kaimitz, was ready, and the Levana were ready put on the Mizbeach, and we're left with the rest of the ingredients, that the halach is that the rest of the ingredients are just eaten by the Kohanim. It doesn't have the din of Kotshe Mizbeach. And that's when Rabbi Kiva is saying that a kli mitzarev kol shem b'toichoy. And that din, given that we're not referring now to Kotshe Mizbeach, is a din, the Rabbanon. The Raisa, because he says the concept of tzirv kli, is tzarech kli. Anything that has to be put into a kli sharis, explains the Turi Evin. The halacha is that the ingredients of the carbon mincha have to be put into a kli sharis. And in those ingredients, we're learning there's a concept of tzire kli. And that's when a kli mitzarfai, tze'en tzarech kli. But these ingredients, the shiari mincha, don't have to be put on a kli sharis. Ain't a kli mitzarfai. That midaraisa, there is no din of tzir of kli. Because as we learned at the beginning of Shia, says Rashi, the din of tzir of kli was only taught regarding kaf achas, a sarazov malayka tyrus that's going to be put on the mizbeach, but not to this that's going to be eaten by the kohanim. Vas rabbanon, and that's when the rabbanon came along, Rav Shimon Meseira, Rav Kiva, the gazru, the afagav, the enet tzarech l'kli, kli mitzarfa, even though they don't have to be put into the kli, that even though, and as the Tori Evan says, even though originally they had to be put into a keli, one keli, but they don't need to remain in one keli, and therefore they don't have the derisa de gedin of tzir of kli. There's only the rabbanon de gedin of tzir of kli. Ask the Gemara, teinach soilus. So what we just said is understandable regarding the flour. The flour, as we said, a kaimitz of the flour is put on the mizbeach. The rest of the flour is not put on the mizbeach. And that's why that's considered shiari mincha. But the k'tayrus levana, that is put on the mizbeach. Mayik lemeimer. Rabbi Kiva spoke about them as well. And Rabbi Kiva said that there's a concept of tzir of kli. But we're learning now, the Gemara's at least, Rav Shlokish is at least attempting to say that Rabbi Kiva agrees that something that's put on the Mizbeach, the Tzir of Keli, is a Din D'oraisa. So why is Rabbi Kiva mentioning these parts when he's speaking about a Tzir of Keli, the Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Kigon Shetzover Agabit Katavla. We're speaking about when they were put on a spread. And the Gemara is teaching us, and that's what our Mishnah and the Mishnah complemented with the Mishnah Masechta Idyos, the Raisa, mid the Raisa, Yesh Loi Toich, something that has a receptacle, like a kaf, like a spoon, Mitzarif. That's when we have a concept of Tzir of Kli D'Raisa. But Ein Loi Toich, but it doesn't have a receptacle, Ein a Mitzarif. V'os Rabbanu V'tiknu, and Rabbanan came along and said the afikav the eloi toich, that even though it doesn't have a receptacle, still mid Rabbanan, it's mitzarif. It says the Tosfos Rosh. Obviously, a katavla, a leather spread, a leather blanket, a leather sheet, cannot be used to put the ingredients of a karban mincha on them, because the halach is that the ingredients of a karban mincha have to be put into a klisharis. Rather, explains the Tosfos Rosh, What Gemara means to say is that if you will have a klisharis, which are metal, that are made at, that's made not with a receptacle, it's made just one flat piece, that's a klisharis where midaraisa there is no concept of tzir of kli, and Rabbi Kiva came and said that midrabanan we still will apply here the concept of tzir of kli. Says the Gemara pliga de Rav Chanan, this that Rav Chanan said that tzir of kli is a din daraisa clearly is in dispute with what Rav Chiya bar Abba taught us. Dam Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Medusa Shir Rabbi Kiva Nishas Misnazu. That this had Mishnah, our Mishnah that taught us that tzir of kli, that there's a concept of tzir of kli, is only something that Rabbi Kiva taught us is only midrabanan. So in our Gemara, we've seen that there's a concept of tzir of kli, and there's different concepts of tzir of kli. So it's interesting to point out that the Keren Oira finds a stira in a Rambam. On one hand, he says the Rambam holds that tumah that is created through a tzir of kli is only midrabanan, like the Gemara just said that Rav Chiya bar Abba clearly taught us that the entire concept of the tzir of kli is only the Rabbanan, not like Rav Chanan. On the other hand, asked the Keren Oira, the Rambam says that if we have different ingredients for carbon mincha and we put them all into one kli sharis, the halacha is they're considered all in one keli. Asked the Keren Oira, if we're saying, if it's clear that the Rambam's opinion is that the din of tzir of kli is only the Rabbanon, so how could he rely on tzir of kli to connect all of the ingredients in one keli? So the Stipler gives an answer. The Stipler says that there are two levels of tzir of kli, and that the level of tzir of kli that's required to spread tumah is different than the level that's required to make all of the ingredients in one keli considered one. He says, midaraisa, if tumah touches one part of the food, unless it's one piece of food, it doesn't spread to another food, unless we're going to apply the concept of tzir of kli. However, when we need to put together all the ingredients as carbon mincha, the halacha is that as long as they're part of the same mincha, and how is that created, that they should all be considered part of the same mincha, the fact that they're in one keli, that is enough that they should be considered one mincha. In other words, what the Stipler is teaching us, is, and that's what he says the Rambam means to teach us, is that even though the same words are used, the concept of tzir of kli is different in different applications. And for tumah, tzir of kli needs to be much stronger, and therefore only under certain circumstances will we consider the situation of tzir of kli versus other situations where it will not necessarily be considered tzir of kli. Continues the Gemara we learned in Mishnah, Harvi b'kodesh pasul v'ashlishi b'truma. As we explained when we began our shiurim on these sugyas, there are two words and Hilchas Tumah Tahara that are not synonymous, even though they sound the same. One is the word Tomei and one is the word Posel. Tomei means that it has the ability to pass Tumah further. Posel means that this is the last step of Tumah. And the Mishnah taught us that by Truma, the Shlishi is the last stage, and by Kodesh, the last stage is Revi. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. How do we know that that is the halacha by Kodesh? Says the Gemara, Dinhu. It's learned through a Kal v'chomer. If Mechusa Kippurim, that a person who went to the mikveh and had hair of shemesh, but didn't bring his karbonis, the halacha is mutter b'truma, he's allowed to eat truma, possible b'kodesh, but he may not eat Kodesh, Shlishi, certainly somebody who's in the category of a Shlishi is much stricter than a Mechusa Kippurim. Because a Shlishi, as we just said, is Pasul Betruma, certainly ain't a din to Yasser Vila Kodesh. So Rashi asks the obvious question. There's a rule throughout Shas, Dayim and a din Leyes Kanidan. When we're learning Kavachaymer, even if the Kavachaymer is a great Kavachaymer, the Kavachaymer could only say that whatever is the rule by the Chomer, by the Kal, is also the rule by the Chomer. But it can't add levels. Here we're saying, if there's a Shlishi by Truma, there must be a Revi by Kodesh. Asks Rashi, yes, we could say Al-Kavachaymer, that if there's a Revi by Truma, if there's a Shlishi by Truma, there's certainly a Shlishi by Kodesh. But how can we say Al-Kavachaymer, that if there's a Shlishi by Truma, there must be a Revi by Kodesh? That's a violation of the rule of Dai Lovim and Adin. So Rashi answers that this rule of Dai Lovim and Adin in helping us understand Kavachaymers is only applied where the Kavachaymer will be left and teach us something after we apply Dayoy. But if we're going to apply Dayoy and therefore no halacha will be taught, we'll prefer to learn the Kavachaymer, even though that Kavachaymer is established in violation to the concept of Dayoy Lava Menadin. And therefore, it says Rashi, this Kavachaymer stands. There are Rishonim, however, who disagree and that say that if a Kavachaymer, we can never have a Kavachaymer that's in violation to the concept of Dayoy. And therefore, they explain that Rashi will agree that this Kavachaymer is only establishing that there's a Revi B'Kodesh Midrabanan. For that, even though it's in violation of Dayoy, we can rely on such a Kavachaymer. But we can't rely on it to say that there's a Revi B'Kodesh Midraisa. But of course, saying this would require, says the Gemara, that there's a Shlishi Mekodesh. Because, again, as Rashi explains, if we wouldn't know that there's a Shlishi Mekodesh without this Kavachaymer, we would use the Kavachaymer to teach us that just like there's a Shlishi Betruma, there's a Shlishi Mekodesh. And then the Kavachaymer would not be available to teach us that there's a Revi Mekodesh. Only once we know that there's a Revi Mekodesh anyway, so we don't need the Kavachaymer to establish that. Therefore, we use the Kavachaymer to teach us that there's a Revi B'Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Amanu Shlish L'Kodesh Min HaTorah, and Revi by Kodesh, we learned with the Kavachaymer we just stated. Says the Gemara, Shlish L'Kodesh Min HaTorah Minayin, where do we indeed learn this halacha? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'abasa Shiga B'chol Tamei L'Yachol. The Basa of Kodesh Shlomim, the basa of any carbon that comes in contact with tuma is also to be eaten. Now, milaskinen, we know that when something is a sheni l'tuma, it's certainly considered tame. Milaskinen the naga b'sheni, that this meat of the kachim touched a sheni l'tuma. And the Torah already says, the kam rachman ala yoichel may not be eaten. Why? Because it's tame. Even though it's a shlishi, it came in contact with a sheni. If it came in contact with a sheni, it became a shlishi. So we see that there is a concept midoraisa of a shlishi l'kodesh. So if we said a moment ago to Kavachaymer must be coming to teach us something extra. It's coming to teach us that there's a concept, a ravim, a Kavachaymer, hadamoran, as we explained to Kavachaymer. We learned in the Mishnah with Truma in Nitmas. We learned in the Mishnah by Truma, if one person's hands became Tamei, just because one hand is Tamei, the other one is still Torah. But in the case of Kodesh, the halacha is, even if one hand is Tamei, he has to immerse both hands. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shizbi b'chiburin shani. When the Mishnah taught us this halacha is talking, as Rashi explains, in a situation where one hand is touching the Kodesh, and the other hand is touching the Kodesh at the same time. That's when the loch is that both hands must be immersed when we're speaking about Kodesh. That means that's when they're tamei. Shloi b'chiburin, but where they were not touched, loi, that halacha wouldn't apply. Only when the two hands touched does that apply. Esei, Abaya asks a question this. The Braisa says, Yad neguva metame chaverta, a dry hand that is tamei can make the other hand tamei letamei lekodesh to make kodesh that it touches before it was immersed tamei avaloi letruma. But the halacha will not be so with truma that it won't make the truma tame. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda Amir Lifso. The dry hand that is tame makes the other hand tame only to the degree that the kodesh will be posel. That it's tame, but it doesn't have the ability, as we said a moment ago, to pass the tuma further. Avloy latame. It doesn't have the ability to make the hand tame that it spreads tuma further. So makes the Gemara's point. That if we're saying that Amish is talking about a case where the two hands did not touch the other, then we could understand that even though the first hand is dry, to teach us that even though it is the hand is dry and it doesn't pass tuma, it will give off tuma. If we're going to say that this halacha is only applicable when it's chiburim and shloi b'chiburim loy, my revusin neguva. What's the difference if it's dry or not dry? Since if it doesn't pass tuma if it doesn't touch, so why should it make a difference? It menami, and therefore says the Gemara, Amar shloka shloi shanu ella yadoi avyat chaveroi. Only his own hand, one hand can make the other hand tomei. V'lo yad chavartai. Rav Yochan disagrees. Rav Yochan says, echad yadai, whether one hand touches his own hand, v'echad yad chaveroi, or if his hand touches, which his hand became tomei, touches another person's hand, that hand becomes tomei. But that halacha, b'oisa yad, it's only if the hand that came in contact with another hand came in contact with the hand that was originally tomei. But if it only came in contact with a hand that became tame because it became tame because it touched another hand, that hand doesn't have the ability to spread tuma. And says Rabbi Yochanan, Lifsoil, that this halacha, that one hand cannot make the other hand tame or make it tame, is only regarding making psul of loyla tame. The hand that's tame makes the other hand a shlishi. And if that hand that's a sheni touches, makes it into a V. But if the yad is not a shnia, the second hand that touched the first hand doesn't have the ability to spread tuma. Mamai says the Marmidic Tani Sefer, because we learned in the Mishnah, hayad matama chavertoi, one hand can make the other hand tamei l'kodesh l'turma. And the question is, why did our Mishnah have to say this statement? Hasolumali. Why did our Mishnah have to say the statement? Hatana le resha. But we learned at the beginning, im trumim nitma achs miyadu chaverta tahira. Ubekaidish matmul shteim. And we saw, therefore, we saw that by kaidish, there's a halacha that one hand can make the other hand tamei, and not by truma. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat itself at the end of the Mishnah? Elo. Mishnah's coming to teach us that by kodesh one hand can make the other hand tame. Says the Gemara, v'af Rish Lakish hadabei. And actually, Rish Lakish reversed himself, and he agrees ultimately that by kodesh one hand can make the other hand of another person tame. Damar of Yoina, Amar of Ami, Amar Rish Lakish, Ache Yadav Achet Shel Chaveroi, Be'as Yad Lifsoil, Avloi Latame. Exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. So we learned before by one hand making other hand tame. And we learned from Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish that one hand can make the other hand tame in only to the degree that that hand is posel. But that means it's a revi. But it can't make the other hand into a shlishi. That means, a very bechidish, that even though the hand that became tame is considered a sheni, and when we speak about Hilchas Tuma, the way Hilchas Tuma always works is a sheni that comes in contact with something else makes it into a shlishi. So if this one hand touched the other hand, it ought to make it into a shlishi. Teaches us the Gemara, no, it makes it into a revi. Says the Gemara, this halacha is lifsol avaloi latamei, that one hand makes the other hand into a revi and not into a shlishi, actually tanoihi. Says the Gemara is actually machlokes tanoim. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Yudayim teaches us, kol ha'poisa b'truma, anything that makes a shlishi l'tuma, metam l'yashnias, then we make the hands that they should be a sheni. In other words, normally when a sheni touches something else, it'll make it a shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua is teaching us here a special chumrah. He's teaching us that one sheni makes another sheni. Yad metame chaverta, div Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda says that one hand makes the other hand tamei, and not only does it make it tamei, but if the first hand is a sheni, the other hand will be a sheni. That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. V'chamar miyadayim shnir saying that the yadayim are considered in the halacha consist a category of a sheni, and the halacha is ain't sheni ois a sheni. My love. So says the Gemara, doesn't the Mishnah mean to say that sheni hu d'loy avid, one hand can make the other hand into a sheni, like Rabbi Yeshua said it would happen, hashlishi avid, it can make into a shlishi. So we see over here, what is the halacha? Rabbi Yeshua, if one hand makes the other hand into a sheni, to make the kodesh a shlishi, or does it only have the ability to make it into a shlishi, which would make the next hand into a revi? Says the Gemara Dima, that's not the way to understand. Maybe the way to understand is lo sheni avid lo shlishi avid. It doesn't even make it into a shlishi. And they're going to disagree and say that one hand doesn't make the other hand tamei. Ella, says the Gemara, this machlokes is learned, tanoi in this machlokes. The Tanya, yad nevguva, a dry hand, metame es chaverta, makes the next hand into a shlishi, letame bekoidish, to make the koidish into a shlishi. Avol loy letruma. But this doesn't apply by truma divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer lifts oisa yad, the yad that was originally tamei, makes the koidish into a revi, it can't make anything, it can't make it into a shlishi. Even though the yad is a sheni, and it ought to be that when the yad touches kodesh, the kodesh should become a shlishi. Here it teaches us this Tana clearly that this special halacha that we're learning about the yadayim is only to make it into a revi, it can't make it into a shlishi. We learned in the Mishnah, Oichem Oichem Negovim, we're allowed to eat dry food, but yadayim mesuvis by truma. The Mishnah seems to be teaching us that even though somebody's hands are tamei, may eat truma that it was not mukshel kabel tuma, because as we keep on referring, if a food did not become wet, that food is never susceptible to tuma, and since that food is never susceptible to tuma, even though my hands are tamei, if it touches the food, that food can't become tamei because it was never mukshel kabel tuma. Still, with such hands, I may not eat kodesh. And that is why? Because Chazal taught us here the halacha of kodesh food does not have to become mukshel kabel tuma. Kodesh food does not have to become wet in order for them to be susceptible to tuma. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Chanina ben Tignes, V'chi, Yesh neguvel kodesh. Is there a difference between dry hands and wet hands, dry food or not dry food when we speak about kodesh? Ask the Gemara, v'loi chibas ha-kodesh mechshartam. There's a special concept when we speak about kodesh, and that's the concept of chibas ha-kodesh. The fact that a food is used for kodesh, even though it never came in contact with water, and we've learned the food has to become wet to be susceptible to tumah. The fact that this food is kodesh, that is enough to make it susceptible to tumah. So if that's the case, what's the Mishnah teaching us? And as I saw the Kesef Mishnah points out, maybe we should say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us this very din. The chibas hakodesh mechshartam. So, explains the Kesef Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the Raises, the Rabbanans. The concept of Chibas HaKodesh Mechshartam is a Daraisa, and therefore it doesn't apply to our Mishnah. Another Pshat that I saw, that the Aruch HaShulchan Asid seems to explain, that the purpose of our Mishnah is to differentiate Malos between Truma and Kachim. This concept of Chibas HaKadosh Mechshartam is a much more fundamental rule, and it doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is coming to teach us the following Chiddush. Le'tzricha, kegoyin shetochel lo'y chaveroi le'toych piv. Somebody whose hands were tar, stuck food into the mouth of somebody else. So the hands did not come in contact. Tamei dege hands. My hands, the person who's eating the food is tamei, but my hands did not come in contact with that food because somebody else stuck the food into my mouth. Or shetachavu l'atzmai bekush or bekarker. Or I put the food into my mouth, but the food was on a piece of wood. The piece of wood was a pshuti kleitz, and the halach is the pshuti kleitz are not mekabel tumah. So therefore, I would say, when is there a concern that we're machmer by kodesh? That if my hands are tamei, I'm not allowed under any circumstances touch kodesh, even if my hands are dry, even if the food never got wet. That's only when my hands directly come in contact with the food. But here, my hands don't come in contact with the food. And now I want to eat with this food, chulin, that don't become tamei from my hands that are tamei. Says the Gemara, so that those food, that chulin food, I'm allowed to touch even though my hands are tamei. Says the Gemara, L'kodesh gozer b'rabbanan. Chazal made a gzeira that if a person's hands are tamei, and he touched chulin with those tamei diga foods, and he didn't touch the kodesh, still, he can't have kodesh, eat kodesh, even though he didn't touch the kodesh, somebody else put the kodesh in his mouth, or the kodesh was put in his mouth through this pshuta kliyetz. We don't want you to have those two foods intermingling. But that's only a gzeira that Chazal made by kodesh, the truma, the gozer rabbanon. By truma, Chazal did not make that gzeira. And even as long as I don't touch the food with my hands, there's no problem by the truma, and I can eat the food, that truma food, at the same time I'm eating chulin food that I touched, that was mukhsh, that were mukhsh l'kabotom, that got wet and were touched by my hands that are tamei. We learned in the Mishnah, oinim chusuk burim. Somebody who's an oinim chusuk burim, rachman tzlon, cannot eat kodesh, even though they went to the mikveh. As we explained earlier, the mechusuk purim is a person who is tamei, and the tamei requires that he should go to the mikveh whenever he has to go to the mikveh, have hair of shemesh, but now he still has to bring kabonis. And until he brings the kabonis, he's called the mechusuk purim. And the mechusuk purim is not allowed to eat kachim. Teaches us our Mishnah that the mechusuk purim has to go before he is able to eat the kachim, even though he already brought the kabbanis, he has to go to the mikveh again. And the same thing is that oinen. Rechman Slan, if somebody is an oinen, he lost a close relative until the levaya takes place, as we learned extensively in Masech the Moikotin, he is considered an oinen. An oinen who is no longer an oinen and now wants to be able to eat kachim has to go to the mikveh first. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reason? Says the Gemara, Kimid Adi Idna Siri, while this individual was an oinen, while this individual was a mechusuk purim, he was not allowed to eat kachim. So when a person leaves from the status that he was not allowed to eat kachim, we have to be concerned, a concept that we've learned in our parak about, we have to be concerned that there was a hesach hadas. The definition of a hesach hadas is that he wasn't paying attention. He wasn't paying attention to, am I getting tamei or not? Because he knew that while he's an oinen rachman tzlon, or while he's a mechusuk purim, he can't eat kabbanis. Anyway, he can't eat kachim anyway. And we need to be concerned that therefore he'll come to eat. He became tamei not knowingly. And that's why, in order to be able to eat kachim, at Zuchur Rachman Tfilah, Chazal said that you have to go to the mikveh before you eat kachim. However, Chazal, says our Mishnah, did not make such a rule by truma, and the reason is very simple. Our oinen is not allowed to eat kachim. A mechusuk purim is not allowed to eat kachim. So during the period that he is an oinen, or he is a mechusuk purim, we have, as we just explained, a situation of hesach hadas. But a person who is oinen or mechusuk purim is allowed to eat truma. So there was never any hesach hadas as far as truma is concerned, and therefore there is no reason to say that he should not be allowed to eat, continue eating the truma, or not require tefillah when he leaves the status of being an oinen or mechusuk purim.